Hello, this is Eric Petrov with Rage Against the Reptilian Right. Don't you just love that reverb? I know I do. And who cares anyway? It's my podcast.
Grandma, what's wrong? You look sad.
Well, sweetie, Granny is kind of sad lately.
Why? What's wrong?
Well, sweetie, I think that the Republicans want to kill Granny.
What? Don't say such things. Nobody's trying to kill you, Granny. Anyway, I won't let anybody hurt my Granny. Who are these people anyway?
Republicans, dear heart, Republicans. Amongst decent, kind, and thinking people, that happens to be a very dirty word indeed.
I'm sorry, Granny. Why would they want to hurt you anyway? Everybody loves you almost as much as I do. What's wrong with them?
They want to take away Granny's Social Security and her Medicare. And you know, Granny needs her Social Security and her Medicare to eat and be well and to stay alive so that she can have fun with her favorite little girl in the whole wide world.
But Granny, why would they want to do such a horrible thing?
They're selfish and greedy in their heart and in their soul, dearie. They don't want to pay their fair share of taxes, don't you know?
But why, Granny? Everybody has to do their fair share. You taught me that. Like when you wash the dishes and I dry. Right, Granny?
That's exactly right, dearie. We all have to do our fair share, sweetheart. But these fuckers who make $250,000 a year and up think they're paying too much money in taxes as it is, let alone paying what they really should. They think that if they flip you a penny or a nickel out of every dollar, that should be enough to do everything. What these bastards don't understand is that if it weren't for the good old U.S. of A. and everything that's afforded them from the government and the rest of us, they wouldn't be able to earn squat, let alone make millions or billions of dollars. Maybe we should tell them all to leave and relocate to Somalia, where there are no regulations and taxes. Let's see how well they do there. Then we'll see if Mr. and Mrs. Romney will be putting in an elevator for their car garage anytime soon. And then they can buy all the guns and armament their little hearts desire, and they'll need them too, once the have-nots start climbing the perimeter walls to take all their stuff. And then they call on the police for help. Nobody will come. And do you know why? There will be nobody there to answer the phone, because no one in the whole fucking country pays taxes. After all, who needs taxes? Let's make government so small that we can drown it in the bathtub.
Grandma, all those dirty words that you taught me never to say, and you're saying them. Why?
I'm sorry, dear heart. Granny is very upset, but don't you ever use those dirty words, especially the R word, Republicans. Let's use some other word, something less horrible and scary, something nicer and friendlier, sounding like, reptiles.
The preceding was brought to you by the Rage Against the Reptilian Right Players. This is Eric Petrov once again. I'm going to give you a little, open soul conversation about myself and the podcast, which I think is in order. As you can tell by my name, Eric Petrov, Eric, E-R-I-C, Petrov, P-E-T-R-O-V, that I'm of Eastern European lineage, not from Russia or the former Soviet Union. I'm middle-aged. I was raised in Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan. And I went to public schools there. PS 8, my elementary school, which I have many fond memories of. On King Street, I believe it was. And then I went to high school in the city, and finally to CUNY, the City University of New York, where I got a degree in business administration. And by the way, when I went to a school in the city, it was fairly easy and low cost. If you had a B plus average in high school, you can get into a city university, pay a nominal fee every semester. The books are the most important, costly thing that I recall. There was, you know, several hundred dollars per semester at the time. Several hundred dollars was a great deal of money, certainly to me. The one thing to be said about the cost of education with the advent, with the coming of Ronald Reagan. I could refer to him as senile Uncle Ronnie. He started to destroy the educational system in this country. He felt, because when he was governor of California and there was a budgetary thing happening, he decided that, enough of, free education. And it's not free, the taxpayers pay for it. He felt everyone should pay their way. And, slowly but surely, reasonably priced and, or free education, certainly in, higher education, became a thing of the past. So what we have now is a situation where these total student debt in the country, that's the debt of all, each and every student who had to apply for loans and receive financing to go to school, go to college, when you total all their accumulated tuition debt, it's in excess of the total credit card debt for all the credit cards in the country. Now that's an astounding, astounding number. And yet, some people, the Republicans, think that's perfectly okay because you have to pay your way. However, what happens to a brilliant child who's born in the ghetto? Or born somewhere in Appalachia, who's very bright, very capable, who has the ability to go places, to become a great and accomplished individual, whether it be in science, in entertainment, in economics, in business, which is beneficial to all of us, the entire country. We all benefit from having great students, great citizenry, educated citizenry, and it does us no good to tell possibly thousands, if not millions of children who could be really wonderful, wonderful, productive citizens with a great education and great training. Wouldn't that be to our betterment? But nah, there's a dollar involved. It costs too damn much. So everyone has to pay their way. And of course we have, scholarships and we have, I don't know, what did that white-faced, phony Romney say during the, campaign? Oh, just borrow from mom and dad. And that'll be fine. If it were that easy to borrow from your mom and dad, then everybody, of course, would be doing it. They can't. Mom and dad don't have it, asshole. And we've gotten into this culture that we're not going to pay for education. We're not going to pay for roads. We're not going to pay for postal service. We're going to privatize everything. We're going to make even public schools charter schools because, gosh, we just can't pay for it. What we've paid for before, from the founding of the country until Ronald Reagan, and the crazy Republicans, suddenly they don't want to pay for it. It costs too much. And it'll take too much money out of the pockets of those filthy rich individuals who, as a portion of GDP, are paying less now than they paid in the history, I believe, in the history of the country. No, maybe not the history of the country. And certainly in the past 100 years. They're paying less now than they have since income tax was initiated. So what we have here is a culture of we're going to put tolls on every street and highway and bridge, and you're going to have to pay for infrastructure. You're going to have to pay for schools, and no more free, no more cheap postal service, no more anything. This thing with trying to make government so small that you can drown it in a bathtub is what they're really after. Bit by bit, that's what they're after. And from what I can see, they're on their way to their goal. Certainly with the educational system. I feel I got a great education in this city, a great higher education at CUNY, City University of New York, and I feel that should be accorded to everyone. Everyone should have the ability to, if they have the aptitude and the intellect, the intelligence, they should go from school to school to school to a better school and better school and better school, and we should all pay for it because it's to our betterment. It's to the betterment of the entire country to have highly educated, functioning, productive children, students, citizens. That's a no-brainer. You don't have to think about that. All right, so much for education. This latest thing here, this Duck Dynasty. Now, this came out just, I think, this morning. There's this insane program on cable TV called the Duck Dynasty. It's a bunch of yahoos, all bearded yahoos and their wives, who their family business is making duck calls, and people are watching them as reality TV. I've never seen the show. I may have seen a segment only because of this big dust up. But this the patriarch, I forget his name, the old man of the Duck Dynasty, he got into a rant during a magazine interview about homosexuals, and he was comparing a woman's vagina with a man's anus, and why would anybody want to use a man's anus versus a woman's vagina? It just doesn't make sense. He's comparing homosexuality with bestiality. I mean, they're interchangeable, right? And that, to his knowledge, when he was growing up down in Louisiana, the blacks were all happy before civil rights and before and pre-entitlement and pre-welfare. Really, he never heard any complaints. What's remarkable to me is not so much that this I consider him dim-witted, certainly uneducated. This dumbass yahoo and his family is the material for a top-running reality show, The Duck Dynasty. I think they have millions of viewers, and I don't know what the number is, 8 million, 15 million, some insane amount of people watch them. I saw bits and segments of this, again, basically because of the thing in the news. And I got to tell you, to me, from my standpoint, anybody who watches this, I don't know. Is it just what it's like? Is it like looking at a train wreck or a car wreck, and you want to see the horror that's there? In this case, these pathetically dysfunctional is the word. These people who don't impress me at all with anything they do or say, except that they're dumb as shit. That they, I guess the rest of us want to see how dumb a good portion of this country is, how what they consider a worthwhile way of life. I don't know. It's just the show is, to me, is crap. Just as much crap as this other show with Honey Boo Boo in it. And anybody who puts any credence into anything related to such a low, low, low level entertainment, I don't know. So this guy, Russell, what's his name? I forget his name. Again, they keep referring to him as the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty. Why would you listen to what this boob says? So they, what they did is they suspended him indefinitely. The show is still going to start, I believe, in January again for the new season. At any rate, that's significant news, I guess, because this bearded Yahoo, as if it's a big news to anybody that Yahoos in Louisiana, are homophobes. They hate fags. They hate queers. They hate homosexuals. I mean, the fags and the queers are not my word. name calling. And as far as they know, the blacks were happy as pigs in shit when they were growing up. Anyway, that's enough of that crap. Let's get on to something more substantial. On to what I consider more substantial matter. There's an article in the New York Times, dated December 18th, Uninsured Skeptical of Healthcare Law in Poll. Now, what they're saying is, I'll just read the first paragraph. Americans who lack medical coverage. Americans who lack medical coverage disapprove of President Obama's health care law at roughly the same rate as the insured. So the uninsured disapprove of the law as much as the insured, even though most say they struggle to pay for basic care, according to the latest New York Times CBS news poll. 53% of the uninsured disapprove of the law, the poll found, compared with 51% of those who have health coverage. A third of the uninsured say the law will help them personally, but about the same number think it will hurt them, with cost a leading concern. Now, let's get back to to some simple basics here. 95% of the American public has health insurance through their companies, or their employers. And we're all assuming that it's decent coverage, it should be good coverage, and wouldn't be crap coverage, although you don't know. But even then, the insurance company should they determine that they want to dump you for whatever reason, and somehow something turns up that you had a pimple lanced on your nose or whatever, or you had a slight fever or whenever and it wasn't on your paperwork, they'll dump you because they see somehow that you're becoming some sort of a liability, or you might cost some sort of money. And, God forbid, if you become very ill and you require a significant amount of treatment, then the bills start coming in, and of course they could have dumped you any time along the way to say, well, for whatever reason they have to dump you. But they're dumping you because the costs were running high and they didn't want to lose the money. They're there to make money, not to pay claims. With the advent of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, which is the same thing, a good number of the people out there don't understand, honestly believe that Obamacare is one thing and the Affordable Care Act is another thing, and which is really, really fucking remarkable that they're so busy watching the Duck Dynasty that they don't even know what's going on with health insurance or the Affordable Care Act. And that's how unenlightened they are. Okay? So, what the article is saying is, that a good portion of the population doesn't trust the Affordable Care Act. Why is that? You would trust the insurance company? Because they'll do the right thing as a corporation? They do the moral thing, the fair thing? The what's expected of a health insurance company? No, they wouldn't. They've dumped people for overly high bills that were overly high claims. They've dumped people once they determined that they had a pre-existing condition, which can't happen under the Affordable Care Act. They have to insure the children up to age 26 of the insured, as opposed to not being insurable before. The Affordable Care Act was instituted to improve health care, to spread the risk amongst the entire population. By doing so, we would drop the cost down. Therefore, the name, the Affordable Care Act. There's a reason it's called the Affordable Care Act. President Barack Obama wanted to make health insurance more affordable. Rather than having just the older, sicker people in the pool, he wanted to get everybody in the pool, and he came up with a mandate. The administration came up with a mandate which says everyone has to have health insurance. Suddenly the young and the healthy say, I don't need it. I'm fine. I'm not paying for it. Of course, if they get hit by a bus or a truck, or they have something serious like a cancer, first of all, if they're hit by a bus and they rush to the emergency room, we all pay for it because the hospital now suddenly is not going to get reimbursed by this individual who's hit by a bus. He's in the emergency room. They can't send him home. He's got to be repaired. So they put him into a room and he's racking up these bills, and he's got no insurance. She's got no insurance. So I'm paying for it. You're paying for it. We're all paying for it. But that's okay to these young kids. They don't need health insurance. And the same thing is true if they were suddenly, God forbid, develop cancer. And in that case, if you went to the emergency room because you had some symptom, they'd stick a pill in your mouth, give you a couple of pills to take home and say, sorry, you have no health insurance, we can't take care of you. And they'd still bill you enough so that you can go bankrupt just from your visit to the emergency room. What's obvious to me, and I have to admit I'm a news junkie and a political junkie, is that many people in this country went bankrupt because they couldn't pay for their health care, and everyone seems to think that prior to ACA, the Affordable Care Act, they thought that, well, I have health insurance, everything's fine. A good number of the people, particularly on the individual market, had crap shit policies, which were a piece of paper that said, yes, you have health insurance, and it's only $54 a month, or some other insane premium. And no one read the fine print. And the fine print said, you're good for this, but not for that. They'll pay you $50 for that, but not for the rest of it. Nobody read the fine print on the policy. Nobody ever does. And a good number of the people had crap policies. And the administration and the Affordable Care Act says, no, you have to meet certain criteria in order to have worthwhile health care in the country. And if the policies don't meet that particular criteria, it's not real insurance. The whole country goes into an uproar. Oh my God, you're telling me I can't keep my beautiful policy for $54 a month? And instead of the administration saying, they weren't policies, they were snake oil sold to you by a bunch of insurance companies. They covered nothing, or they covered incidentals, and then which gave you the warm fuzzy feeling that, oh my goodness, I have health care. Look at this piece of paper. I pay for it. It's $54 a month, so I have health care. And the general population is so god awful stupid. A good portion of it is. I'm not going to get into that because it's so stupid that they don't know health insurance from a pimple on their ass. And so suddenly the government's saying, let's get our house into order. Let's get our house in order and make health insurance universal so that everyone has it, like every other industrialized nation on the planet. And let's make sure the policies are real policies. There's no cap on treatment. I mean, that means you can be in the hospital for treatment for whatever, for God knows what, and they're going to say, oh, this is costing me too much, I'm pulling out. They can't do that. They can't tell you, I'm going to charge you more because you have high blood pressure, or because you wear glasses, or because you stubbed your right toe when you were 15 years old and you neglected to tell us that, and or if you did, we're going to charge you because we want to, and we have to, and we will. The Affordable Care Act is here for the benefit of the population in terms of health care and health insurance. And frankly, health care shouldn't be something that is making money for a health insurance company strictly because this health insurance company takes money from one place and gives it to another place. They're basically administering the health care. And in doing so, they want to take a profit out of it, a significant profit. Prior to the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, half the money they took in would be profit. And now the Affordable Care Act says, no, 20% goes for your profit, the rest goes to actual paying for health bills. And that's a lot of 20% on $1 trillion-plus cost, which is what healthcare costs in this country, is a whole lot of money. Whereas Medicare and Social Security and other governmental programs have single digit administration costs, 3%, 5%, whatever. That's what it should cost to administer money to pay for healthcare. Whether they're taxing somebody and holding the money and then paying the actual health care givers, that's basically, you're just administering the money. And what the country needs is what the rest of the world has, the rest of the civilized world has, the industrialized world, the developed world has single payer. The government, some government institutions takes in money from taxes into one big pool, and they pay it out to healthcare givers. But of course, that would eliminate the insurance industry, which ain't going to happen anytime soon, because they'd rather see blood in the streets than do that. And it would mean cutting the costs that are charged by doctors and hospitals and laboratories and clinics to something more reasonable. At any rate, I find this remarkable that such a large segment of the population is confused. I mean, don't you read a paper, a magazine, when this whole thing hit the when the shit hit the fan, when this whole thing started? Was it so boring? I don't want to read it. I'd rather watch The Voice or American Idol. I don't understand it. It's about you. It's about your health care. It's about your life. That's boring. You'd rather watch Honey Boo Boo or Duck Dynasty? What kind of fucking country is this? That's what tickles your fancy? That's what gives you kicks? Really? That's pathetic. Okay, let me just read a little bit more of this article. I don't understand it at all, said Derek Stapleton, 47, an independent from Peru, Indiana, speaking in a follow-up interview. Mr. Stapleton, who was uninsured and out of work, said he planned to sign up for coverage before the March 31st deadline. But he added, it sounds, from what I understand, that it might not be affordable as they once thought. It might not be as affordable as they once thought. I don't know what anybody thinks is affordable, but I got to tell you, for myself and my wife, we're independent contractors. We don't work for a large corporation. We were paying before the Affordable Care Act $15,000 a year. That's $15,000 per year, $300 a week just for health insurance. And we had no pre-existing conditions. Now we're hoping and we're expecting to bring that down significantly as we navigate through the website. Even as the insured and uninsured expressed similar misgivings about the law, the uninsured reported starkly different experiences with the healthcare system, the uninsured. Their responses suggested they were far more likely than the insured to have trouble paying for medical care, to rely more on emergency room and community clinics, and to forego treatment. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Yeah, let's... I have friends who think that this health insurance is some, yeah, you can live without it. I'm healthy. I'm okay. If I'm sick, I'll go to a doctor. They will take your home. So with insurance companies, health companies, meaning doctors, lawyers, doctors, hospitals, whatever. If they shipped you off into the hospital because you're hit by a truck, bus, cancer, whatever, and you racked up a bunch of bills, they're going to come after you. They'll come after your home because you have no means of paying for it. So the whole idea is to buy health insurance. And at present, nothing's for free. It's not going to be for free. You're going to have to add into the pool to pay your premium. And these people who are friends of mine have homes, they have assets, and they honestly believe that they're cool. But let's see what happens as the deadline for signing up approaches. And let me see. The poll conducted was uninsured. The uninsured respondents were generally younger, poorer, and less educated than respondents in the general population. Three quarters of the uninsured were between 18 and 44, and about 1 in 8 had college degrees. Slightly more than half said they earn less than $30,000 a year. Well, I got a, under $30,000 a year, you're going to get quite a subsidy from the government to help pay for your health insurance costs. But you have to navigate your way through the website and find out what sort of coverage you can get. Again, this is really bullshit. It's a lot of complexity and it's a lot of unnecessary cost that's in our system. Again, a $1.something trillion per year system, because we have insurance companies that have to make their profit. We gotta make a profit on this. God damn it. That's the American way. And then, of course, the doctor who has to buy his second or third home and the clinic and the hospital and the millions of dollars paid to CEOs of hospitals. All this is unnecessary expense because the American system has to make a profit on everything. Even someone dying of a disease, someone going to school to get an education, post office, no, that's costing too much money. We're going to try and kill that sucker, and we're going to make sure that FedEx and UPS makes the money they should to mail our mail or whatever. Okay, so let's see. That'll be enough of healthcare. I subscribe to something called the Hightower paper, Lowdown from Jim Hightower, the Lowdown from Jim Hightower, or the Hightower Lowdown. Mr. Hightower is from Texas. He's a progressive Democrat, and his monthly publication, which is only about 4 pages long, is a hoot. And this last one dated, volume 15, number 11, November, last month, 13th. It's about the restaurant. The title is "A Rebellion of Restaurant Workers is Challenging the Deplorable Low Wage Ethic of the Fast Food Behemoths." I'll read some things to you directly from it, and I'll interject my thoughts on that. It starts, "By gollies, McDonald's cares, despite being a corporate behemoth, more than 14,000 stores in the U.S., $27 billion a year in sales, $5.5 billion in profits, and 860,000 employees. The world's biggest burger chain has shown that it has a heart." And I'll go on. "Earlier this year, the McChieftains, high atop the hierarchy, declared that they feel the pain of frontline and fryline workers at the bottom who are struggling to make ends meet on the $8.25 an hour they're typically paid. That's about $17,500 a year gross for full-time work. Though most who toil under the golden arches are held well short of the 40 hours a week, further shrinking their paychecks. You could almost see tears welling in the eyes of top executives as they conceded that this is poverty pay, leaving those who prep and serve happy meals for millions of children unable to cover the cost of their own meals and other basics." In essence, what they did is they put together a website. Now, let me see where what the website is. Oh, yeah. They put together a website to become a better decision maker. And the website is www.practicalmoneyskills.com. The site instructs them to spend and save wisely, laying out a day-by-day, item-by-item, budgeting regimen for them. And then Hightower goes on to say, "Wait a second, save on 8 and a quarter an hour? I'll go on, because he explains it well. But the site is not only clueless and condescending, it is also a hoot. For example, in the initial sample monthly budget proposed by the McScrooges, no spending was allocated for one of life's basic needs, eating. Blah, 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 blah. What happens is, somehow, this is the answer that the McDonald's execs had to the, what do you call it, demonstrations in the lines of protesting workers they had that one day out last month, is to give, put together a website that shows you how to be more practical with your $8.25 per hour. When in reality, if you had two jobs at $8.25 per hour, totaling $16.50, you could barely stay alive, let alone one job. Now, what this is, the bigger underlying thing here is that it's not just the low end workers who are making minimum wage is $7.25. The low end worker who's working for McDonald's, it has to do with everybody from the poorest worker up through the middle class, the entire middle class. There's a culture and a thinking in corporate America that says, you know, guys, you're lucky to have a job, so you haven't made anything for a while, but we can't afford to make anything. We can't afford to give you any raises. Yeah, I mean, you haven't made anything. You haven't done anything that, in terms of raises, we haven't done anything for you in terms of raises. Because, you know, things are tough and you're lucky to have a job. Meanwhile, corporate America is sitting on $1 to $2 trillion of profits, which they don't know what to do with. In essence, since senile Uncle Ronnie, Ronald Reagan, took over, he and the Republican Party slowly and surely and deliberately started destroying the idea that the workers have to share in the goodness of capitalism. And you can't use goodness with these people because goodness has nothing to do with it. The culture started again, but with Ronald Reagan and his administration, says, you know, they're workers, they're expendable, as long as you have tons of other workers ready to take their jobs, we're not gonna funnel any more money into their paychecks. They'll get by with what they'll get by with. And so in essence, and I'm sure I said this before, from 1980 till now, in terms of real dollars, the middle class income is pretty much flatlined. 1980 through 2013. Flatline means if you saw it on a graph, it would be pretty much level, going from left to right, a flat line. The people who are the top 1-2% earners, and I'd say as much as the top 5%, if you see their line starting in 1980, that line starts in 1980 and starts to make this sharp and ever steeper climb higher, to the point that they've gotten, let's see if I get this right, 180% increase in the past 30 some odd years, in their income, whereas the middle class worker is pretty much flatlined. So everyone was thinking that, oh, well, you know what, those poor schmucks, they're flipping burgers, they can't do anything else, that's not me, I'm okay, I've got a job, and I don't make $8.25 an hour, $7.25 an hour, $8.25, whatever it is. No, you're in the same boat on a slightly higher scale. You're not getting as much money as you should for your work. You're on an average for the whole country. Your middle class income is pretty much flatlined, while the top 1-2% are raking in more and more of the profits. It used to be that the American corporation, the American company, would share in the profits. No, I'm not saying whatever the profits are, we're just going to chop it up and give a little to the owner, a little bit to the manager, and a little bit to the worker, and we're all even. Of course not. The owner owns the company. But you don't squeeze the worker to the point that they're barely holding on, which is what's been going on in the middle class today. And I keep going back to this. Germany, Scandinavia, a good portion of Europe has a different approach. They feel that their workers are part of the team. They're given a decent salary. They're all given health care. They're given all sorts of benefits. Guess what? Germany is not dying. Scandinavia is not dying. A good portion of Europe is not dying. They're doing okay. And they're doing okay not by raping the worker. They're doing okay by sharing in the benefits of capitalism. Now again, Europe, a good portion of Europe, Germany, Scandinavia, has well-regulated capitalism, companies, corporations, capitalism. So the government says, you know, you have to do at least this much. You have to give them this. You should do this. And everyone agreed because the government was voted into place, and so everyone adheres and abides by the laws. The workers do well. They have far more vacation time. They have far more sick time. Their benefits make us look like we're a third world nation. And you keep getting this crap from the right, and they repeat it so often that you start to believe the shit that comes out of their mouths. We can't afford to do this. You're going to kill us. We can't do it. We can't pay anymore. $2 billion in profits sitting in banks and overseas accounts. What did I say? $2 trillion. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 trillion corporate money sitting all over the world in our banks and in the Cayman Islands and in secret accounts all over the place. And one in four of the top corporations pay zero in taxes. Does that sound right to anybody besides the guy who owns that corporation or the shareholders in that corporation? And by the way, the shareholders in that corporation and the owners of that corporation are in the minority in this country. The majority of us are in the middle class. Why do we vote the people in who funnel everything to the top? Why do that? Why not make it a fairer system? Why not vote people into government, into office that believe in fairness, equality, more equal income distribution? Why are we voting in this Republican conservative mindset which says the entrepreneur is the way to go? They're the ones who are the makers. And Romney says the 47% are others, they're the takers. Listen, there's a small percentage of people who can be entrepreneurs. The vast majority of people, 95, 99, 98, 97, I don't care what the number is, the vast majority will be working for some institution, some company. We cannot all be entrepreneurs. So when they tell you, go out there and start a business and be an entrepreneur and pull yourself up by the bootstraps and do the best you can, it's a lot of bullshit. Most people will be working for somebody else. And you have to give guidance and direction and regulation to the people at the top to the capitalists so that they do not rape the rest of the country. And whether you know it or not, the middle class has been raped for the past 30 some odd years, starting with senile Uncle President Reagan. And it's been carried forth through the Republican Party. And the Republican Party has gotten even more insane and more nutty and fruit looped with every passing year. I'm hoping that they get so insane and so nutty and so off the wall that eventually even the dummy walking on the street who thinks that someday he will be a millionaire or a billionaire and so he doesn't want to tax anybody, even that poor dummy realizes, hey, these guys are totally off the wall. We've got to vote them out of office. They're not looking for me, for you. They're looking for themselves. You know, so when I hear stuff like, I don't trust Obama. I don't trust the Affordable Care Act. Who do you trust? You trust Ronald Reagan? Or do you trust who... the same party that started with Ronald Reagan, the Republicans, the Mitt Romneys, you trust them? Mitt Romney paid 13.9% of his income a year or two ago, and everybody else pays 30-some-odd%. You trust that? How do any of these people get voted into office? Because they talk about individual responsibility and hard work, as if the middle class isn't working hard enough. So I'm hoping, as I said before, that the Fruit Loops at the top, the Republicans, the conservatives, and they have a whole lot of money and a whole lot of power and a big microphone, because they just spend, you know, the Koch brothers and others spend tons of money lying to the world about why we should vote for Republicans and conservatives. And truth be told, it's because they don't want, they feel they're paying way too much money now. They want to pay a lot less, and they want to regulate. They want to be regulated a whole lot less. And it's intuitively, it's the wrong way to go. It's been told that when you tax people at the ultra wealthy at 33 1/3% to 50% and beyond, suddenly the whole economy does well. Suddenly, the guy walking down the street has more money in his pocket. He can spend more money. He has a better life. Everyone does well. As opposed to the 1 and 2% who have made insane gains in the past 30 years. And the middle class, believe it or not, it's not hard to believe, have been stagnant. Now, getting back to this Hightower thing, he's got some a little paragraph here which is titled "Shameful Disparity." Okay, the median pay for frontline fast food workers is $8.94 an hour at McDonald's. Cashiers get $7.74. Grill cooks $7.72. Fry cooks $8.20. Crew trainees $8.14. And even the assistant store managers average only $14.22. 87% of workers receive no health benefits. 52% of employees' families rely on such public safety net programs as food stamps, SNAP, and Medicaid, and other corporate programs. By the way, those corporate programs, let me see, cost the taxpayer, us, $7 billion a year. Because they're not paying their workers enough money. We have to supplement the workers' income by giving them food stamps and Medicaid and whatnot, because a McDonald's franchise will not pay what it should pay its workers. So guess what? The middle class is stuck again. Somehow, does that make sense? They pay so little to their workers that we have to make up the difference with food stamps and Medicaid and other programs. By the way, only 28% of workers have full-time 40-hour-a-week jobs. Fast food workers average only 24 hours a week, adding up to barely $11,000 a year in gross pay. Now, folks, how do you live in this country on $11,000 a year? Should you have two of those jobs and make $22,000 a year and suddenly you're flying high? Now, you need what this country needs is a living wage, not a minimum wage. Minimum wage sounds good. Well, what you really need is a living wage, and every part of this country has its own living wage. In Manhattan, New York City, minimum living wage probably wouldn't be $10 an hour. It might be closer to $15 an hour. So be it. That's what you have to pay the workers. And so the hamburger or the Big Mac or the whatever the hell it is, instead of costing $3 and what'd it cost? $3.50 for a Big Mac, three and change, will go up another nickel, 10 cents, 15 cents, maybe a quarter. Well, tough shit. You've got to, the workers who's frying the burgers has to be paid enough so he can at least buy the burgers himself. Just like Henry Ford said, I've got to pay my people enough so they can buy my damn cars. Wow, what a revolution! What a revolutionary thought process. You've got to pay your people online who are making the products so they can afford the products as well. And the cycle goes round. My God, how usurious to capitalism. How insane. But it's been working, folks. It's been working from Henry Ford on. It's working in Europe. It's working in Scandinavia, Northern Europe. And it has to work here again. But it's only going to work here again when someone puts the hammer down on corporate America and Wall Street and says, hey, guys, you know what? You're not paying your fair share. You're not pulling your load. You're stashing $2 trillion, God knows where, waiting for God knows what, and you're not sending, not trickling down enough. By the way, that's Reagan's terminology. Supply side economics, which means give everything to the supply side, whatever they need, whatever corporate America needs. Money, resources, whatever, tax breaks, because once the supply is there, it trickles down. Well, it hasn't worked. It's been a failure for the past 30 some odd years. The United States government, Congress, has to tell corporate America there are some basics that you have to follow. And we're not saying give away the entire store. We're not saying give away the whole ball of wax. But really, guys, take a look at the picture. It's all at the top, and they're throwing nickels and pennies down to the workers. This is insanity. It's part of the economic malaise we're in now. Once you get the grease going and the wheels of industry and capitalism are greased with everyone having money to go out and buy things, the economy gets off the ground and starts moving again. You can't have this me attitude. It's all mine. And hey, you're lucky to have a job. And the government siding with the reptiles? Really, folks? Come on, wake the hell up.